You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
All right. Well, Father, I thank you for every single person that's going to be listening to this broadcast. Father, whether it's they're watching it live or they're watching the recording, I thank you that this is a word in due season. This is a strategy for how to live from that place of rest, that place of assurance, that we know that we know that we know that Jesus has the full victory, that when he said it is finished, it actually is finished, that he's seated up in heavenly places, seated because it's finished, and we are there with him seated as well. And so I just pray right now that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened so that we would know the hope of our calling, that we would be able to look beyond the seen realm, Father, and connect with heaven's reality. Every single moment of every single day, I thank you that we have the mind of Christ, that we have activated spiritual senses so that we are not trapped in the seen realm. We are not deceived, Father, by the circumstances in our lives, but yet we can rejoice in every situation because we are looking beyond the situation and we see it as it is from heaven's vantage point finished. So I bless this broadcast today. I bless every single person that's going to be listening or watching. And I thank you right now for the breakthrough and the testimonies and the victory that is going to be manifest as a result of our time together today. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. All right, you guys, well, it's already part three. Can you believe it? This has been a fun series. I know we interrupted it last week with the word of the month, the Jesus Vortex. So if you haven't heard that broadcast, definitely go and watch it. It's good, you guys. It's good. It's going to give some context to what you may be experiencing this month, and it's going to give you some really practical advice, actually, for how to stand and how to enjoy your life in the midst of whatever situation that you find you're in, which is just perfect because today I wanted to talk a little bit about the frequency of rest. You know, I talk a lot about frequency. I talk a lot about vibrations on this podcast. I talk a lot about quantum physics. Why? Because, first of all, I love quantum physics. But the reason that I love quantum physics is because it's the science of the invisible realm. It's the science of faith. It actually explains faith, I think, from a scientific perspective. And today I want to talk about why we're even talking about rest and what rest actually is and how do you know if you're in it. And you know that you're in it because you feel it. And I know that faith is not a feeling, but I do want to say that rest is a state of being that follows your focus and follows your state of mind. And faith is the place where you have elevated your consciousness above the seen realm. You know, I say this a lot. I say that the seen realm is not all that there is. But you guys, because we are material beings living in a physical body, it can seem many times that the physical reality is more real than spiritual reality. But rest is all about connecting with the reality of the unseen realm. It's about looking beyond the physical realm to the spiritual truths that trump the physical realm, that actually have spawned the physical realm. And I feel like faith is one of these topics that we sometimes can deconstruct from, or we can think, you know, well, I don't know, Shalise. I mean, I tried to speak to something and, you know, the mountain didn't move, or, you know, I don't know about this word of faith stuff, this name it and claim it, this blab it and grab it stuff. You know, I don't know about this faith stuff. Faith is a person. Faith is Jesus. You know, so I don't really have anything that I really need to know about this. I just think all of that is just a little, that's works. That's legalism. And I get it. Anything that you do outside of union with Jesus is legalism, is work. But I'm not talking about faith apart from Christ. I'm talking about the faith that is available to us because we are in Christ and what that means about us as a human being. We're not simply a material being. We are a divine being and we have been recreated in Christ. We've been created in God's image to be creative, to be co-creative in God. Our bodies are incredible technology. And when I talk about the quantum science of faith, or I talk about the quantum science of rest, or I talk about the frequency of rest, what I'm doing is I'm basically talking about this state of being where you are vibrating at the vibration of Jesus. You are vibrating at righteousness, peace, and joy, which is the frequency of heaven. And why does that matter? Because we live in an energetic world. Everything is energy. This is what, you know, Albert Einstein discovered when he came up with his famous equation, E equals MC squared. And this is what scientists are now proving. I mean, God created the world with words. What? Words are vibration. Words are invisible. But just because something is invisible doesn't mean that it's not powerful. In fact, the most powerful thing that has ever been introduced into creation. God framed the world with words, and words are so, so very powerful, and their frequency, okay? Words are invisible, but there's lots of things in the kingdom that are invisible. In fact, your spirit is invisible. Jesus, although he's alive and he has a physical body, is in the spirit. It's an invisible savior, but he's still Lord. It is very, very real. Jesus is actually alive. He has a resurrected body. And so just because something is invisible doesn't mean that it's powerful. And if you are going to live a victorious life in the kingdom of God as a new creation, as someone who's living in union with Jesus, you are going to have to connect with the reality that we are living in an invisible realm at the same time we're living in a material realm. And this material realm is governed by words. It's governed by frequencies, not just the words that we speak. We know that Jesus spoke to a fig tree and the actual fig tree dried up at the root. All right. So what caused words to impact that fig tree and cause it to dry up at the root? Well, you know what caused it? Frequency caused it. Right? The frequency of faith, the frequency of the spirit caused a change in the material realm. You know, today in the Path to Purpose group, I posted a little experiment that one of my students did. You can go into the group and find it. I posted it on Shalise, I posted it on Instagram, I posted it everywhere because this little experiment is so powerful. So shout out to Tracy for this experiment. But basically what she did is she got three bowls of rice and she labeled these three bowls of rice, one with a happy face, one with a neutral face, and one with a sad face. And I'm going to be coming back to the significance of the happy, neutral, and sad face in a moment, because I really feel like it brings out the point that words are frequency, that our feelings are frequency, that yes, words are powerful, but so is our state of being. But anyway, in the happy rice, right, the one that she labeled with the happy face, she spoke life to it. In the rice dish that had the neutral face, they just ignored it. They didn't speak life. They didn't speak anything to it. And then the rice with an unhappy face, they spoke curses over it. They spoke death to it. They just spoke very negative to that rice. And if you go and look at that picture in my group, you'll see that within 2 weeks, the condition of those rice dishes were very, very different. The actual happy rice had no signs of decay. Had no sign. It was perfect as the day that they put it in the dish. Okay, the neutral dish, you could tell had started to decay a little bit. But in the sad dish, there was black and there was major signs of decay in that dish. Why? Because of the words that they spoke and the frequency of those words. So words are just as powerful today as in Jesus's ministry. They're just as powerful today as when God said, "Let there be light," back in the beginning. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of our tongue." So death is not in the power of cancer. Death is not in the power of bankruptcy. Death is first and foremost a function of our words. In other words, it's a function of our frequency. And so when I talk about the frequency of rest, why am I even bringing this up? Because we're working from rest, meaning that faith is how we're living. Faith is how we're working. And when you are working by faith and living by faith and walking by faith, the actual frequency that you are walking is the frequency of rest. So how do we enter into this frequency of rest? What is this frequency of rest? Well, the thing about faith, the thing that trips people up, is that faith sees something that doesn't exist in the material realm yet as an already existing material reality. So I want to go over to a very familiar scripture today. Hopefully it's a familiar scripture, but it's Hebrews 11, verse 1. All right. And I'm going to go over to this in the Amplified Classic version. Okay. And here's what it says. It says this: now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Okay, this is just a great definition of faith. Okay, it says that faith actually sees the unseen. I mean, it doesn't say it exactly like that, but that's what it's seeing. Okay, faith is the proof of something that is unseen. Faith is the assurance that something that is unseen actually exists. And the truth is, we have eyes of faith. We don't just have natural eyes that connect with the material realm, but we have spiritual eyes that can connect to the kingdom of heaven, that can connect to the invisible realm. And these eyes are prophetic eyes. These are eyes that connect with a reality that is not revealed to the physical senses. And so working from rest means that I am seeing a reality in the unseen realm that is already finished. Okay, what is finished? Well, the entire kingdom is finished. The new creation is finished. And just because there is a contradiction in the natural realm doesn't mean that the spiritual reality doesn't exist. It just means that there's an opportunity to transform the material realm. There's an opportunity to manifest heaven on earth. There's an opportunity to operate as a son of God and transform the seen realm so that God's will is on earth as it is in heaven. And we see this over and over in Jesus's ministry. It's although he didn't even register sickness. I mean, he would say when somebody died, like Lazarus, oh, they're just sleeping. And he was not, you know, and then he finally tells them, you know, no, he's dead. So it's not like he was denying the reality of the seen realm. I mean, he saw the fig tree that it didn't have fruit on it. He saw the storm. The difference is that he wasn't governed by the circumstances. He was not controlled by the circumstances. In fact, he governed those circumstances. He transformed those circumstances, which goes right along with the word of 2024 that I gave back in January, right? I said, don't quit. Be unstoppable. Learn to dominate and manipulate or govern or however you want to say it, the Matrix. And I called it the Matrix because the movie The Matrix is a really good analogy for the seen and the unseen realm, right? Everybody's just living in this Matrix, totally asleep, kind of like the world system, kind of like we're just walking around asleep in the seen realm every day. Unaware of heaven's realities, unaware of the unseen realm, unaware of the spiritual laws and the quantum physics that governs this seen realm. And of course, we know that Neo had this abrupt awakening. He had this encounter with Morpheus and he takes the red pill and he starts to recognize the Matrix for what it actually is. That it was just a reality that was not necessarily real. I mean, it was real to the people that were living under the illusion of it, but it wasn't the actual reality that Morpheus and Neo and Trinity were actually living in. In our situation, no, the kingdom of heaven is the real reality. And the material realm is the Matrix. And I used that analogy in the word of the year, and I'm using it, you know, all throughout this year because it is time for us to elevate our consciousness to the realm of Jesus, to the realm of the unseen realm. It is time for us to get off of our physical senses, to stop being governed by our emotions that are coming from the physical input that we're getting from our physical senses, and to come into a higher reality and to come into the knowledge of the kingdom of God and see the kingdom of God and see the realities of heaven so that we can feel the realities of heaven. We can vibrate at the realities of heaven because vibrations are communication in the seen realm. Okay, so now I want to go over to another scripture. This is just in Philippians chapter 4. And this, we know that the Apostle Paul wrote the epistle Philippians, the letter to the Philippian church, while he was in prison. But Paul was not in a bad mood because of his circumstances. How many of you know that Paul was connected to a different reality? He was connected to his destiny. He was connected to his mission. He was connected to the reality of heaven and Christ in him. And that reality for him was a greater reality than anything that he was experiencing in the seen realm. Okay, so I'm going to go over here to, I'm going to start in Philippians, to Philippians 4, but let me start over in Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to start in the Passion Translation, because this is, again, it's from the Apostle Paul, but I want to start here and then I'll go over to Philippians. It says this: Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. In other words, focus, look at, desire, all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. So I want to stop here for a moment, because just recognizing that reality, yes, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. So you are a resurrected human being right now. Like, I know we think of resurrection as something that's going to happen after we die and we come back to life, but the truth is you've already died. And you are a resurrected new creation right this very minute. You died with Christ. You were buried with Christ. That's why we do baptisms, right? And then you were raised with Christ. Baptism is actually a prophetic act that symbolizes your death and resurrection with Jesus. And death is a defeated foe, okay? Death was abolished by Jesus. If I go over to Hebrews, I'm going to come back to Colossians 3. I'm skipping around today. But if I go over to Hebrews, let's go over to the Hebrews chapter 2, and let's read what Jesus did to death. Okay, so in Hebrews chapter 2, it says verse 14, since all of his children have flesh and blood, so Jesus became human to fully identify with us. He did this so that he could experience death and annihilate the effects of the intimidating accuser who holds against us the power of death. That is not a good translation. Let me just go into a different translation. Let me just go into the New King James Version for a second. Let's go back to 14 and let's read it again. It says this, it says, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Okay, so Jesus abolished death. He told Mary at Lazarus's grave that I am the resurrection. I am the life. Okay, and that life of Jesus is resurrection life. And that is the life that you are living right now. You are resurrected right now. You don't have to wait to die to live a victorious life over death. Okay, this is the whole thing I'm teaching on in Elevate this month. So obviously it's creeping into today's teaching. But let's go back to Colossians verse 3. It says, set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in his glory. Now, this is in the New King James Version. Let me go back to the Passion Translation, because King James, like, depending on the translation, it's like they always put stuff into the future. And they're poor translations, because truthfully, the cross and really the foundation of the world is telling us that we were in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we were crucified with Christ. It's in the past. By his stripes, you were healed. And faith is the substance of that reality. All right. We connect with that reality by not getting distracted by the things in the natural realm. So let's look here in the Colossians 3 in the Passion Translation. It says, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And it says, verse 4, as Christ is himself is seen for who he really is, who? Resurrected King. Who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. So these realities are unseen. But the Apostle Paul was connected to these unseen realities and telling us to get connected to these unseen realities. And when you are connected to these truths and you begin to operate not with your physical eyes, but with your spiritual senses, I mean, how do we feast on heavenly realities if they're unseen? It's because we have spiritual eyes. We have the faculty of an imagination. We have the ability to see something that is not physical through the faculty of our imagination. And Holy Spirit-inspired imaginations are more powerful than any input that you will ever have from your physical eyes. Holy Spirit-inspired truth, inspired words, meditating on scripture until you can see it. You know, when people understand something, you know, they're like, the light bulb goes off. Whoa, I can see it. What does light bring? Light brings visibility. And so when we see the invisible things through the eyes of faith and we begin to connect with that reality on a different level, guess what? It changes our frequency. It changes our disposition. It changes our mood. It changes what we speak because we, out of the abundance of the heart, we speak. And a good man brings forth good things out of the treasure of his heart. Well, how do we deposit those treasures in there? By connecting to the unseen reality that we are one with Jesus, that we have a new heart, and Jesus's heart is filled with good things. So therefore, our hearts are filled with heaven as well. And so if we go back over to Philippians chapter 4, let me go back over there. I'm skipping all around today. Okay, here's what the Apostle Paul says in verse 4. I'm in the Passion Translation. He says, "Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let your joy overflow." Okay, so now I want to just chat about what is the frequency? What is the disposition of rest? Okay, a lot of times when we hear the word rest, we think sleep. We think just sitting there doing nothing. And obviously, that's powerful. I mean, resting is powerful. I just came out of a weekend where I literally did nothing. Like God was like, turn it all off and just do nothing. You know, many times we just need to rest. And rest is a place of peace. It's a place of Sabbath, right? I mean, we're just taking a break from laboring in the natural. But how many of you know that we can rest every single day from just laboring in the natural? And it doesn't mean that we aren't doing things. It doesn't mean that we aren't working, but we are working with a different set of eyes. We are working with a different frequency. We're working with a vision that sees whatever it is that we're working on as already existing, as already finished in the natural realm. And I know that this doesn't feel like a lot intuitive for a lot of people because we've been trained that something isn't real unless it's material. But the truth is you believe in a lot of things that aren't real. You're interacting with things that are invisible every single day, whether you're cooking in a microwave, whether you're listening to the, listening to the radio or you're watching television, right? There are waves of energy, different frequencies of waves that are communicating, broadcasting and impacting matter all the time. I mean, just think about a microwave. Can you see a flame? Can you see anything in there heating up your food? Can you see anything that's causing the transformation of that food? No, you can't because they're microwaves. Well, what I want to tell you is that your words, in effect, are like microwaves. Your frequency, in effect, is like a microwave, and it's interacting with the seen realm all the time. Hence, life and death being in the power of the tongue, hence the rice experiment that I talked about earlier. And the same is true for the faculty of our imagination, not just, you know, as we meditate and visualize on the kingdom and the gospel, but do you know that this works for everybody? This works for Olympic athletes. I mean, this has worked in scientific studies. I share this a lot on the podcast, but I'm going to use a very simple example again, where they did a study where they had two groups of people and one group of people went to the gym. I don't remember if it was 6 weeks or however long it was, but they went to the gym and they worked out every day doing a particular routine. And then they had another group in that study that didn't go to the gym physically, but they just began to imagine themselves at the gym. And they went through the same routine, but they did it in their imagination. And after 6 weeks, the people that physically worked out and the people that just imagined working out had the exact same increase in muscle mass. Now, I use that example because it is so very powerful. And so I use it all the time. I'm probably going to use this one about the rice forever. Why? Because they're super practical and they're super easy to grab onto. But do you know that there is another experiment where they took a group of older men that were like in their 70s and they took them back, quote unquote, in time. And what they did is they took them to a camp and they basically decorated everything. They dressed like everything. Was in the 50s, like back when they were in their 20s. They listened to music from the 20s. They listened to sports from the 20s. The newspapers were like they were from the 20s. It's like they went back in time in the material realm. And these people, these men went back with all kinds of aches and pains in their bodies and all this, you know, limited range of movement and all these things. And after they spent time back in time, they changed their speech. They basically pretended, if you will, that they were living in the 20s. Do you know that they got back their flexibility, aches and pains started to leave. They were playing football because they were living in a reality that was outside of time. They went, you know, in quote unquote, back in time. But these are experiments that didn't even give people scripture. All right. They weren't preaching the gospel to these people that were going to the gym. They weren't preaching the gospel to these men that they were taking back in time. They were demonstrating the power of a human being to alter reality. And this is the power that human beings have just because we're human, just because we've been recreated in Christ, just because we are made in God's image. We are children of God. We are sons of God. And we need to wake up to the power that we have been given in our physical bodies. These physical bodies are like antennas. They are communication towers. And we have not just the ability to see the unseen. We don't have just the ability to imagine. We don't just have the ability to speak words of life and words of death. But frankly, we have the responsibility to grab onto this. We have a responsibility. Why? Because we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And frankly, science should not be leading the way. I love that we have these scientific experiments. I love that you can do these same experiments at home. One of my elevators this month said, well, what do you think would happen if you cursed the rice for 2 weeks and then you went back and started blessing the rice for 2 weeks? I said, well, if death and life are in the power of the tongue and resurrection power is true, my guess is that you will resurrect the rice, but you should check it out. You know, I did a quick Facebook Live the other day because I have some balloons in my office here that are supernaturally not deflating, right? I've just been sitting with this reality of death and life being the power of our tongue, sitting with this reality of the power to live above the curse, to live above decay, to actually transform things with our frequency. And these balloons, by the way, they're foil helium balloons. I did the Google on it. They last 3 to 5 days. Well, it is now May 7th at the recording of this broadcast, and I bought these balloons on March 19th. Like it is literally impossible in the natural for helium balloons to last this long. I mean, maybe they last a week, maybe they last 2 weeks, but come on, going on 2 months, right? So it's, again, just a practical experience. Guys, I have shared testimonies about speaking to a rug and dog pee dissolving out of the rug. I have used examples of my washing machine breaking and speaking to my washing machine and it's starting to work again. I know people that have resurrected, quote unquote, resurrected their computer like 5 times. I was just reading a testimony the other day about a cat that got electrocuted and shocked. And I mean, literally was like frozen in this shocked position, hair, you know, the whole thing. The cat was dead. And they spoke life and prayed over that cat. I don't even know, maybe it was 30 minutes or something. And the cat came back to life. Like, we have been talked out of the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. I mean, anything a scientific experiment can do, a believer can do better, right? Moses' snake ate the other snake. Like, anything that looks like magic, and it wasn't magic, these scientific experiments aren't magic, but my point is anything that anybody does without Jesus, how much more can we do in union with Jesus? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, meaning the revelation of God. And so I feel the responsibility to remind you over and over and over again that you have the power to transform anything. All things are actually possible. Everything is actually possible to them that believe. Those are Jesus's words. And so we need to repent. When I say repent, we need to just wake up. We need to change our thinking. We need to recognize that we have been given the body of Jesus. Like, we are in oneness with God. And so what is the frequency of God? What is the frequency of rest? Well, it's joy, you guys. In his presence is the fullness of joy. Joy is hilarious. I mean, it's this idea that we can live in a good mood all the time, regardless of what circumstances are going on in our lives. Why? Because we can live from another reality, from another frequency. And guess what? You can be in a good mood when you recognize that nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of God, and that you have dominion. Like, you are not, we don't have to be a victim. We can be in a good mood. You know, we can laugh. We can take a nap in a storm. We can rest while we stay focused on the things that are unseen. Our light affliction is just for a moment. This light temporary distress is just for a moment. And I tell you, there's such resistance to this revelation. You know, I was reading some really powerful books this weekend, and again, they're talking about suffering. I mean, there was so much revelation, but like all of this suffering, but Jesus suffered. He bore our grief. And if the greatest thing that could happen to us is that we die and we have dominion over death, well, to me, that's the greater work. That's the greater work that Jesus told us that we would do. Why? Because he died as us. Why? Because he defeated the guy that had death, right? That is the devil. And now we have dominion. So what is there not to be happy about? What is there not to be in a good mood about? The thing that causes us to come down into these low level frequencies is that we have been duped into thinking that we're victims and that we have no control over what's going on in our lives, and that we just have to submit to the doctor's report. We just have to submit to whatever the seen realm is throwing our way. But when you elevate your consciousness, you come out of victimhood. You come out of, you know, the world is just, you know, happening to me. No. You start to recognize that you have co-creative capacity and that you have the ability to impact the seen realm. And there is no greater frequency than the presence of God. And if in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand pleasures forevermore, then we can laugh in the face of whatever it is that we are facing. We too, like the Apostle Paul, can say, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let your joy overflow. You know, in verse 6, it says, don't be pulled in different directions. Don't be worried about a thing. You know, and so we can step into the reality of what is actually finished in heaven. And we can be so overjoyed at that reality, we can actually begin to broadcast that reality through the frequency of joy and through the words that we speak. And so I want to encourage you that it's time to laugh, you guys. It is time to laugh in the face of whatever is trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. It is time, you know, last night I was getting a little nuts on my Emerge call. I was literally high kicking. You know, why was I high kicking? Because sometimes you just need to pattern interrupt. Sometimes you just need to, like, when things are heavy and you get hit with something you weren't expected and you're in the middle of this tragedy or in the middle of this thing, guess what? You need to jolt yourself back into the reality of who you are. It's funny because that actually is kind of like Neo, right? Like, the next thing you know, he's, you know, dodging the bullets and he's doing these crazy maneuvers, right? But it is like, oh, wow. I don't want to say, like, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And sometimes we need to get foolish in the face of what something that is trying to accuse you of being powerless, accuse you and accuse God that the cross has not been completed, that you have to just, you know, go with whatever deck you've been handed, whatever, you know, hand you've been dealt, rather than recognizing Whoa, that the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is alive in you and living in you, and you have miracles in your mouth. You are a walking miracle, a walking transformational being. You are a transformer, right? You ever saw that movie where they transform? Well, that's you. You are a transformer that is here to transform the seen realm. Signs and wonders are designed to follow you. And so I just want to remind you today that joy is way more powerful than just a human emotion. Joy is a frequency. It's the frequency of heaven. It's the frequency of God's presence. It's the frequency that transforms not just your disposition and just not just your outlook, but it interacts with the seen realm. I think that's, you know, why it's so powerful that those little rice dishes showed the happy rice, the neutral rice, and the negative, the unhappy face, the sad face rice, right? Because those go hand in hand. And do you even know that our bodies are speech activated? That it says in James, let's go over there, that if any man offends not in word, he's a perfect man and able to control his entire body. What? Well, if the seen realm is speech activated, if let there be light caused light, if the worlds were framed by the word of God, well, doesn't it make sense that everything would be speech activated? And wouldn't it make sense that our souls can be speech activated? David said, magnify the Lord's soul. Soul, why are you so downcast? You know, he actually came in and was like, let's, you know, magnify the Lord. So in James chapter 3, I'll just read it in the Passion Translation. It says, dear brothers and teachers, don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church, since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. In verse 2, it says, we all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we are able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. Let me read it in a different translation. It says here in the Amplified Classic Version, it says, and if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and perfect man, able to control his whole body and curb his entire nature. You know, guys, this is why the Holy Spirit got a hold of the human tongue on the day of Pentecost, right? He was reconnecting our tongues to our spirit. Yes, it's a language that we don't understand. It's above human understanding. We're speaking to God. We're speaking the tongues of angels. We're speaking in a language that is creative, that is higher than human language. Now, human language is powerful when it's aligned with what God is speaking and you're speaking prophetically and you're speaking as the oracles of God. But if you don't know what to say or you can't say anything that's in alignment with God, well, then you need to either pray in tongues or not say anything. You need to stay in that neutral face. You need to say where I'm not gonna speak life or death. I'm just gonna be quiet. Because at least if you're quiet, the tongue is not bringing destruction, which that is what the tongue can bring. And that is really the point of James here. It says here, if we set bits in the horse's mouth to make them obey us, and we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, we look at ships, though they are so great and driven by rough winds, they are steered by a small rudder wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. Even so, the tongue is a little member, but it can boast of great things. See how much wood or great a forest, a tiny spark can set ablaze. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depriving the whole body. So he's saying that our tongue is like fire. It's powerful when it's under control, but it's destructive when it's out of control. And so the thing about words, the thing about your frequency is that the present moment is the only moment that you have to govern. So it doesn't matter if you were negative yesterday or you spoke words of life. Guess what? Your tongue can turn it around. Your tongue is like that rudder. It's like rudder. It's like that bit in that horse's mouth. You can control it by turning turning your words around. And here's the thing. If words control the body and words control the soul, then you can turn your frequency around. You can turn your thoughts around with words. Words and your frequency are truly the most powerful things that you've been given as a son of God. Jesus Christ is in you. Obviously, Jesus is where that power is coming from. But those spirit-filled words, those words that God is speaking through you, will transform anything, including your mind and including your frequency. This is how I was healed, you guys, of manic depression. I got a hold of a scripture. You've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And I started speaking it, and I started to get revelation over it. I started to have imaginations about it, and I started to see myself as someone who was healed, as someone who did not suffer with that, even though my emotions were trying to tell me otherwise. So, you know, I don't know what to say beyond the truth that quantum physics is proving these things out. Scientific experiments like, you know, sending the old guys back in time or going to the gym are proving these principles out. The little experiment that I did with the rice, or that I posted about on my group here about the rice, like that was done by kids. It was my students' grandkids that were the ones that were actually speaking to the rice. Kids get into it because they don't have the limitations a lot of times that as adults have. So this is a scriptural principle. This is a scientific principle. So do yourself a favor and start to laugh. Do yourself a favor and begin to speak the truth over yourselves. Look away from all that would distract. Look to Jesus. Look away from the natural realm. Meditate. Elevate your vision to heavenly realities. And recognize, like I said in previous podcasts, that you have been recreated in Christ for good works, for supernatural works. And what I'm talking to you today is about how to do those supernatural works. And you do those supernatural works from rest. And rest is simply the state that you go into when you see a reality that is unseen, that is already finished. And beloved, God has preordained these supernatural works for you. He has prepared paths ahead of time that you would walk in them. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Classic Version. And it is time for us to just get off of the physical senses. Stop being led, not by the carnal man, by the old man, by the unrenewed mind, and connect to spiritual reality. See the unseen and call things that be not as though they are. Take dominion over death. Take dominion over decay in all of its forms. Speak to your finances. Speak to your body. See the end from the beginning, and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. The joy is the power of God. And you can rejoice when you know you win. You can rejoice when you recognize that it's actually already won. You can rejoice when you see beyond the seen realm to the reality of heaven manifesting right now. So God bless you guys. The frequency of rest, the frequency of joy, the frequency of your words, the frequency of your emotions. Those are connected. Those are connected and they are powerful. You are more powerful than you've imagined. You are as Jesus is. That's how you are in this world. So act like Jesus, vibrate like Jesus, and talk like Jesus, you guys, and watch the same works that Jesus did, and even greater works start to happen in your life. So God bless you guys. Let's make it a supernatural week. Let's turn these horses around. Let's turn these ships around. Let's turn that frown upside down, and let's put some dance music on and dance and laugh and see the victory and rejoice in who Jesus is in you, who Jesus is through you, and let's watch the seam realm rejoice with us and be transformed. So God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.